is already on, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I want to get a little into Sivan and Shavuos now, even though it's still ER, Rosh Chodesh this coming Friday, and Shavuos is coming up, so I want to enter into Sivan and discuss Shavuos, you know, this is our last class for Shavuos, to get ourselves a little into that. So as Sivan approaches, we reach kind of a milestone in the farming cycle. We've discussed what each month corresponds to what happens in the farming season in Eretz Yisrael, and we know Shavuos is called Chag HaKatzir. It's the holiday of the harvest. So that means that, you know, in Pesach time, everything started sprouting. Talking about the wheat in particular, the wheat sprouts. For the past 7 weeks, the wheat has been growing and growing and growing. It's time to be harvested around Shavuos time. So we're at the harvest. The harvest means, it means a maturity of growth. We've discussed how the Omer is time for us to grow from being immature to mature Jews. So you see that also in farming, in agriculture. You see the wheat grew from immature, young, inedible wheat to now it should be nice, tall, edible, plump, moist wheat kernels out there in the field ready for harvesting. So the wheat as it is fulfilling its purpose, and we as Jews, hopefully if we've used the Omer properly, are working towards getting ready to fulfill our purpose as well. And we've been maturing too. We've worked hard since Pesach to achieve this maturity. We've developed, hopefully, grown in Midos, refined, you know, ourselves, our own kelim, our own vessels within, as we discussed last week, to make ourselves prepared for Matan Torah. We're getting ready for the big day at Har Sinai, where Hashem wants to give us the Torah once again every single year. So the Jew is now ready as well. Like the wheat is now ready to be picked, the Jew is now ripe. The Jew is now mature. The Jew is now ready for his or her purpose. Hashem can trust and be confident that we are now worthy to receive the Torah. And that was the whole goal of the past 7 weeks, was to get ourselves ready for this big day coming up. Rosh Chodesh Sivan itself is a very significant day. And the reason for that is because the Torah tells us. Let's read the Pasuk inside. This is in Sefer Shmos, in Parshas Yisro. It's the beginning of Perek Yud Tes. And it says, V'chodesh HaShlishi, in the third month, meaning Sivan, Litzeis bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim, from when the Jews left Mitzrayim, Bayom hazeh bo Midbar Sinai. On this day, on Rosh Chodesh, they came to Midbar Sinai. So they approached Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Then it says, Vayisu mirafidim. They traveled from the city of Rafidim, Vayavo Midbar Sinai, and they came to Midbar Sinai, Vayachnu Midbar, and they camped in the Midbar. And they have the famous quote, Vayichan Sham Yisrael neged Ahar, that they all camped opposite the mountain together. So this is the first two psukim in Perek Yotes of Parshas Shmos. Excuse me, Sefer Shmos, Parshas Yisro, Sefer Shmos. So really, Sivan is a very important time because this is when the Jews approach Har Sinai for the very first time. A very big day, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It's really a culmination of so much that we've worked towards. Ever since Pesach, both historically and yearly, you know, we work towards those moments. We're trying to get to the point where we can actually approach Har Sinai and be ready to accept Hashem's revelation. Vayisu Mirafidim, as it says in the Pasuk, they travel from Rafidim. So Rashi tells us, we know that Rafidim stands for the place, they're roughly Deimna Torah, they're weak from Torah in Rafidim. Rafu, they're weakened. And there was an element of Avera that they had become lazy, they had become a little bit too content in their ways, and they weren't working hard in serving Hashem. So that's when Amalek attacked. And we defeated Amalek, and we did Tshuva. And when we entered Har Sinai, we actually left Rafidim, which means we left this Rifyon behind. The weakness, the laziness was left behind. And we're now enthusiastic about serving Hashem. It says, V'chan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. They camped together in front of the mountain. And Rashi points out very famously, V'yichan is a singular language, which Rashi tells us means, Ki'ishecha B'leivechad, in unity, with one heart, all together. So on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, at Har Sinai, they had overcome their laziness, they're enthusiastic, they have achdus and love and care for one another. They've developed themselves to be the proper kelim, the proper vessel to accept the Torah. That's what they've done. They've achieved the goals of Sfiras HaOmer. They have an amazing drive to connect to Hashem right now. If you look a little bit later on in Perek Yotes, it's a Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So we know it says that the Jews weren't allowed to go on the mountain. Only Moshe goes on the mountain. Everyone else had to stay back. And that's why it's called the days of Hagbalah, the days where they are there's a barrier, and they aren't allowed to approach the mountain. And we find Hashem has to warn Klal Yisrael several times, don't go near the mountain, stay back. Moshe, tell the Jews to stay back from the mountain. And Rashi's bothered by, like, why is Hashem repeatedly warning them? You think one warning is enough, don't go on the mountain. But there's a repeat warning. And the reason Rashi tells us, Rashi says, because, let's find the Rashi, Okay. Rashi tells us the reason that Hashem has to constantly warn them to stay back from the mountain is shelo yehersus matzavam, they shouldn't destroy their standing, ayadesh taivasam el Hashem, because they have a taiva, they have a yearning desire to approach Hashem, liros, to see the vision of Hashem, vayikrevu letzadahar, and they came close to the mountain. So people had this burning urge, this desire, I just want to come closer to Hashem. I want to connect spiritually. And they weren't allowed to. You know, they weren't allowed to go, Moshe was allowed to go so close. No one else is allowed that close to the revelation. But it's interesting because the terminology used here is taivasam el Hashem. They had a taiva for Hashem. Now we're aware what taiva is, but our taivas are for physical things. The Jews are seen around a level where their taivas now were for spirituality. It was wrong still, they're supposed to stay back and they were being drawn forward. But they're on such a high level that they were yearning for Hashem. And that's what they were, very different than the taiva that we're used to. There's a very famous idea, Nefesh HaChaim quotes. It says at Har Sinai, when Hashem was having this major spectacle at Har Sinai, of all the sounds and the lightning and the thunder and the shofar. So it says, Kol Am Ro'im Esakolos. They're able to see the sounds. And we always wonder, what does it mean to see a sound? Like sound waves like bouncing around in the air. Like, what does it mean to see a sound? So the Nefesh HaChaim explains, he says that really, you know, when we talk about something that we see, it means that we relate to it directly. If I hear about something, it means I never saw it, but I know such things exist. So I don't know, I've never been to Afghanistan. So I've never seen it with my eyes, but I know Afghanistan exists, I've heard about it. I've never seen Zimbabwe, but I've heard about Zimbabwe, I know it exists out there. I've heard there's such people who live in certain ways, you know, in huts, and out in the middle of Africa, in jungles. I've never seen it myself, but I've heard of such things. So at Har Sinai, usually the way it works for us is that we see things that are physical, and we hear about spiritual things. No, I've heard about like Hashem, and I hear about Gan Eden, and Olam Haba, and Malachim. I hear these things, I've heard of them, but I never actually saw them. But a table and chairs and cups of water I've seen. Those are related directly. And our Sinai is all flipped around. They're Romas Akolos. The things that they typically heard, they saw. And things they typically saw, they only heard about. Which means they're on a level where physicality to them became like, I've heard that people out there like eating food. I've heard of such things. I've heard of something called not controlling yourself over a piece of cake. I've heard of that, but I can't relate to it. But when it comes to Hashem and to Torah and mitzvos, that was a real yearning, that was reality for them. And everything was flipped around at such a high level at this point, they're the proper vessels to receive the Torah, that they're able to sense spirituality in a real way. And everything about the physical world that sucks us in, they felt was like, I've heard such people exist out there that like money and food and all those things, but like they couldn't relate. They heard it existed. So they could see the sounds. I mean, Chazal tell us they're able to see things that are usually only heard about. And then that's the way it's described. So the level they reached in Har Sinai was a very, very high level. This began on Pesach. They worked for 7 weeks, day after day, to become greater, more spiritual, grow in midos, refine their bodies so that they're able to, last week we spoke about tapping into the neshama within and feeling that natural desire to connect with Hashem. And they were there, and they made it. And they had that natural desire to just rush towards Har Sinai, and they're able to see spirituality in a way which we can't even imagine. It was an amazing time. And we also, if we work during Sfiras HaOmer, we're able to also reach some level of that before Shavuos. We're able to reach some level that we're excited to receive the Torah every single year on Shavuos once again. We're excited to be able to have some sort of connection to Har Sinai and to Hashem's revelations. You know, there's an old vort, I don't know who says it, but in many of us, we look back over Sfiras HaOmer and we say, you know what, it's already the 41st day, and like, how much have we really done? Like, have I really taken advantage of this time, which is supposed to be a time of growth, and really changed myself? And many of us look back and say, unfortunately, we haven't put forth the effort we could have, and we haven't grown like we would have liked to. So there's a way that it's explained. The Pasuk says, Avi Macharasa Shabbos HaShviyas Tisper Chavishim Yom, that until the day after the seventh Shabbos, the seventh week, count 50 days. So someone can understand it to mean that even up until the last day, you could still make up for all 50 days. Meaning until the day after the seventh week, count all 50. So all 50, really, if we try to start right now on day 41 and decide, okay, I haven't used the time well until this point, but now I have 9 days to go till Shavuos. and I don't take advantage of the time, so we can somehow condense the growth of all 50 days into 9 days if possible. Mm-hmm. So even up to the very last day, count 50 days. On the very last day, you can still count all 50, not halachically, but at least in terms of the concept. And the power and the growth of these 7 weeks can still be caught up. We can catch up. You can put catch up in Sfiras Omer as well for lost time. So this is Klal Yisrael Har Sinai. Now they've taken advantage of the time, they've gotten there, they're at a very high level, and immediately, the Gemara tells us on the second day at Har Sinai, on Beis Sivan, they received a very, very inspirational speech from Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem told Moshe to say this speech, and Hashem said, "I'm Kosoma Ves Yaakov, Asagiv Ne Yisrael," very famous words, to go out and speak to the women, and then the men. Women come first, is what Rashi tells us. Atem Re'isem Asher Sisa Mitzrayim, you saw what I did in Mitzrayim. I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you close to me. And now if you listen to my voice and guard my covenant, you should be my treasure nation. For all the land is mine. Very famous words. Be for me a kohanim, a nation of kohanim, a goy kadosh, a holy nation. So Hashem presents to the Jews a vision of who they can be. They've worked for weeks in order to reach this point. Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim within tremendous miracles. They have Moshe Rabbeinu at the helm. They're ready to receive the Torah. Hashem says, look what you can do. Just listen to my word, accept the Torah, listen to my covenant, follow the mitzvos. You're the segul mikol am, you're the treasure nation in the world. You're melechas kohan v'goy kadosh. And Hashem gives them a very, very high goals, very lofty goals, because he tells them their lofty mission that they have. And now they're given their mission. This is what you can do. This is what you can accomplish. Just embrace what you're receiving. Embrace the Torah. Embrace being a Jew. And you'll reach tremendous heights. So now they spend 6 days at Har Sinai. They heard this speech. And they spend 6 days preparing, experiencing, seeing, growing. Ready for the big day of Matan Torah. Which will occur on the 6th of Sivan. And this is the level Klal Yisrael was at. So on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, many sources tell us that there's this concept called Paska Zuhu Masan. You heard that before. It says in the Gemara that when Adam did the original Avera and Chava, so this Zuhuma, this like spiritual filth, bad spiritual aura entered into the human being. And it was in Adam and Chava, and it went down to their children and grandchildren. And the Gemara tells us in Har Sinai that was stopped. It came back at the Chedah Egel. So it's back in the world now, the Zuhuma. But in Ma'at Har Sinai, this stopped. When did it stop? So different sources tell us it actually began to stop Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That the entire first 6 days of Sivan were all part of the experience. It wasn't just Shavuos. It was that entire week when they were standing in Har Sinai, hearing the speech, seeing Moshe go back and forth up the mountain. They separated themselves from physicality. They went to the mikvah. They purified themselves. And it was a whole week of total spiritual immersion and experiencing Hashem's great revelation. And that, the zuhama, this filth that was in the neshama, it started being released and cleansed from them the very first day of Sivan. They had the Shloshim Hagbalah. This is an entire week of tremendous tahara and opportunity and excitement of all the Jews that were there. So that's the beginning of Sivan. So we also, every year I always talk about, we have to re-experience what happened during those times. The Yontev isn't about just commemorating the past. It's about the opportunities are available in the air, just like they were during those days. So Hashem presents to us, you know, the week of Rosh Chodesh Sivan and onwards, these opportunities are available. The purity, the excitement, the lofty levels the Jews reached Har Sinai, those are opportunities that we have also if we grab onto them. It's a days where we can daven more intensely, try to work on our midos, work on ourselves, and there's a lot of spiritual power and energy available in the air for us to grow with. So that's the first week of Sivan. Now I want to address the point. It's stressed that Sivan is the third month. Now it's for Nisan's the third month. That's what it is. Now we know that Nisan's the first month, and Iyar's the second month, and Sivan's the third month. But it's not just a coincidence it's the third month. Hashem gave the Torah in the third month for a reason. Nothing's coincidental in the Torah. Why did Hashem choose the third month? And the source I have for this is the Gemara Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that a certain... Actually, I have a copy with me. I have a copy. Mm-hmm. Do you have a Gemara on the shelf? Is the Gemara here?
Well,
Masechet Shabbos. There. When you come...
you do. Yep. You select.
Let's see. Next day, copy nine and let's see. I don't have it. We'll have to wing it.
Okay. Here.
Shabbos. Oh, yeah, there it is. Perfect. Thank you.
So this Gemara really tells us a lot about the essence of Chodesh Sivan and the essence of Matan Torah. The Gemara says, I'm going to find it. Here it is. It says, Darosh Hugli La Alei de Rav Chizda. A certain person from the Galil, I don't know why it matters where he's from, he's from the Galil, he came and he darshined to Rav Chizda. He told Rav Chizda in Aramaic, which I'll translate, Brich Rachmana, Baruch Hashem, Diyav Orion Tlisai. He gave a three-part Torah, La'am Tlisai, to a three-part nation, Aide Tlisai, through the third, Biyom Tlisai on the third day, Biyarcha Tlisai on the third month. So a lot of threes there. Right, so what are all these threes? So let's go back through it again. So Baruch Hashem that gave a three-part Torah. So Rashi tells us, because there's Tanakh, Torah, Nevim, Ksuvim. Three-part Torah. La'am Tlisai, three-part nation. Kohen Levi Yisrael. Three-part nation. Adi Tlisai, through the third one. Moshe Rabbeinu was the third child to the womb. He had two older siblings, Aaron and Miriam. Biyom Tlisai, on the third day, these are the 3 days of Prisha. Men and women have to separate for 3 days prior to Matan Torah. And Torah is given on the third day of separation. Biyarcha Tlisai in the third month, which is Sivan. So that's what he said. So it's not just a cute poem or a cute chappi hat. I'm going to show you how all these threes tie in. Obviously, three is a significant number over here. So the question is, what is this person from the Galilee, from the Galil, what is he finding about the number three, which is so significant to Matan Torah? And Sivan was the third month, which is why we're talking about it. Now, what is it that the Torah was given in the third month, Dafka? Hashem chose the third month to give the Torah. Why is that? So there's a concept of three. And all the numbers have meaning in Torah and Machshava. Every number you see always has a meaning. And the idea of three, there are many ideas of three, but the idea of three, I want to stress the following. Let's go back for a second to Bereishis. So on the very first day of Bereishis, it says, Vayerev Ibok Yom Echad. It was evening, it was morning, one day. And Rashi points out, every other day it uses Sheni, the second, third, fourth, fifth. But on day one, it doesn't say the first, it says day one. It should say the first day. It should say Yom Rishon. Why does it say Yom Echad? So it's pointed out because on that day there was nothing other than Hashem. There's no people, there's no malachim, there's no animals, there's no nothing. It was just Hashem and that was it. So it's Yom Echad, it's the day of oneness. On day two, so Hashem created malachim, Chazal tell us. So on day two, it's not Hashem Echad anymore, there's other beings, quote unquote, in the world, other than Hashem. And the idea is when it's only Hashem in the world, that means there's no room for anything else. There's no other options. There's no choices to make. There's no room for a human being to exist. It's just Hashem. It's just the whole Melech Haaretz Kavod. It's full of Hashem, and that's it. And there's just no room for anything else. It's absolute emes, absolute truth, and that's it. On day two of Bereishis doesn't say the words Ki Tov. There's something not good about day two, it seems. It doesn't say Ki Tov on day two. And the reason is because on day two, Chazal tell us, what other things were created on day two? That's the day where I think it says that the Mahamavas was created, and the Malachim, and Gehenim and other things that we look at as negative were created on day two. And the concept of two is that now there's plurality. Until then, there was nothing else to mistake for a power other than Hashem. It was Hashem and that was it. When day two of Bereishis comes along, it's all Hashem still. There's nothing other than Hashem. You know, Hashem Echad. But yet on day two, you can mistake other things as being significant. So now on day two, there's Malachim. And there's other things Hashem created on day two, which mean that we can mistake something else as being meaningful other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's options. There's, we'll call it, as it were, competition, or there's opposition, but there's other options out there. The Gemara talks about, not so relevant anymore, that things done in even numbers were considered negative. You know, the demons were able to attack things done in even numbers. Zugos, it's called. And the Marashah explains, why was that? Because any even numbers, things that come in twos, those always seem to have an implicit connection to Avodah Zarah, because there's plurality. There's lots of things out there. Hashem is Echad, and Avodah Zarah is many gods. And things that are twos are many. So that's the idea of Zugos. And Avodah Zarah relates to the idea of two, the idea of Yom Sheni. So Yom Sheni doesn't say Ki Tov and Bracious, because in Yom Sheni there was a potential opening for people to actually rebel against Hashem or mistake other things as powerful other than Hashem. But on Yom Shlishi, on the third day of Bracious, it says Ki Tov twice. There's an old minug to get married on Tuesday, because Yom Shlishi has Ki Tov mentioned twice. So it's an extra special day of Bracha, Ki Tov. So what's the idea of, why is Yom Shlishi a double Ki Tov? The answer is because when it comes to numbers, so one is all. If you have one, that's everything Hashem Echad. Two means there's two separate concepts. There's opposition, there's two ideas, there's competition. The idea of three is that you can reconcile two opposing ideas and make them one into one again. If two of us are having an argument and we both think different things, so someone else will come in, step in and say, well, I see why you're both right. Now let's compromise. That's number three. If you have 2 feet on a table, it's going to fall over. If you add a third one, you can make a triangle and the table will stand. The geometric shape, the smallest geometric shape is going to be a triangle with 3 sides. That's what you can have, right? 2 doesn't really work as a shape, but 3 you can make a shape out of. Because 3 is able to take 2 things that are disparate, 2 things that are in opposition, and make them into a whole. Conflicting opinions, the third opinion reconciles it. There's a concept that Gemara uses, that you have shnei ksuvim, you have 2 psukim that are contradictory, and the kasuv shlishi, the third pasuk comes along, and reconciles the two. So I have 2 different psukim in Torah, I don't understand what they mean, they seem to be contradictions. So you find a third pasuk that kind of shows you what each means and reconciles them together. So Yom Shlishi represents the idea of taking these 2 disparate sides, these options that are out there, and showing that you're able to draw them all together as one. So for instance, if you have, like we said, you have 2 different ideas, you can make one out of it. We have Hashem, and then Hashem creates other things. So then I say, oh, there's Hashem, and there's other things, Chas v'Shalom. The third piece is that, no, you show how really everything comes together as one, and it's all really Hashem's will. But there's that third step to come in and bind it all together. That's the idea of the third step. So this is the human being. The job of the human being, you know, in a world where it's just Hashem, we have no place. There's no Bechira, there's no options, we can't make choices because everything is all Hashem. If all I see around me is Hashem, then I'm a robot, I'm nothing, I'm meaningless. There has to be an appearance of other options out there. There has to be an appearance of things that are independent for us to have a meaningful life to live. Because or else we just become totally subsumed, you know, totally subjugated or null and void to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we enter into the world where we see twos. You know, we see there's Hashem, and there's other things out there also which challenge us. And we have choices to make, we have options, there's things that are in competition or opposition to one another. There's Tov and there's Ra, there's Emes and there's Sheker, there's good and evil, these things all exist. The human being is supposed to be the one who steps in and becomes number 3. We're supposed to say, look at all these options, let me show how they all tie together as one Hashem. Let me show how all of them are Hashem's will. Let me show how I can make the proper choice and do what's right based on all these options. And that's the role of the human being. The right way to reconcile all the different things out there is when we go ahead. We go ahead and we try to take those options out there and decide. So we stand, we look at the world, we see plurality, we see evil, and our job is to find how it all can tie together to show Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. That's the idea. So Torah is really the tool for this. We talk about the Torah. Torah is the tool that shows us how do you take everything out there and make sense of it. How do you define right and wrong, good and evil, the truth, and Sheker? Without Torah, we have no ability to do this, because we look at all these things in the world, we throw our hands up in the air and say, I don't know what to do, I don't know what it means, I don't know how to deal with it, I don't know how to reconcile it all. And the world remains a world of twos, of just lots and lots of things that are in opposition to one another. But Torah tells us, no, I can give you the tool to choose what's right. You can understand it, you can weigh it, you can reconcile it, you can choose, you can make the right choices. That's the tool of Torah. It allows the human seichel to see 2 sides of an equation and come out with the answer, and come out with what's right and what's wrong. That's the idea of Torah. So one concept of the, of this idea of three, which everything that Torah we said was in three, is three-part Torah, three-part nation, in the third month, is because Torah is this tool that helps us look at this confusing world of all of these different parts and draw it together as one to make the right choices. That's what Torah does for us. Another element of three is that three implies permanence. Like the pasuk says in Kohelas, Chudam Ashulash Lum Hera Yunatik. If you have a three-part, like a braided rope, it's very strong, it won't snap. And it's a Chudam Ashulash, a three-part rope. Braided with three braids. Because that creates something very permanent, very strong. Halachically, the idea of a chazakah is when you do something three times, or 3 years, or 3 days, depending on the circumstance, it creates a pattern. And we expect that pattern to continue onwards. You know, if you have an ox and it gores three times, it's considered now a shor muad. This ox is expected to gore. Three times to show me this is its permanent trait. And halacha, three times always represents a pattern. A chazakah. That's the idea of a chazakah. It gives permanence. So Matan Torah as well, it gives a permanent Masorah for Klal Yisrael, that this is our heritage forever. It's in the third month, it's permanence. It also gives the world permanence. Until Har Sinai, the world was not permanent. What do I mean by that? We know there's a very famous comment of Rashi also in Bereishis. This is Vayera Vaybokri Yom HaShishi, on the sixth day. To mention before, there's a difference between Yom Echad and Yom Sheni, day one versus second day. So Yom HaShishi is the sixth day, but there's an extra hey there. Every other day it just says Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Ravi, Yom Chamishi. It doesn't say Ha Chamishi, it says Chamishi. On the sixth day of creation, so the Pasuk says Yom HaShishi. It's saying Kiddush, Yom HaShishi. Why is there a hey there? So Rashi tells us, what's the hey doing? Rashi says, Hosef hey b'shishi, there's an additional hey on the sixth day of Bereishis. Lomar, teach us, Shehisna imohem, that Hashem made a condition with the world, that the world will only endure amanas shekabu aleihem Yisrael, if Klal Yisrael accepts chamishachum shetorah, the five books of the Torah. So that hey is a remez to Klal Yisrael, that we should accept the Torah. Or it could be hashishi is a remez to the sixth day of Sivan, Shavuos. And Rashi tells us what it means is that kulam tzuyim v'omnim, the entire world hung in the balance until that day arrived. Because Hashem's world has no permanence because there's no purpose without the Torah. The purpose of the world is that Jews should take the Torah and observe the Torah. That's the purpose of the world. And until that day came, the world itself was uncertain. Will the world endure or not? If the Jews refuse the Torah, then that's it. The world goes back to tohu vohu. It's nothingness. It's a meaningless world. If the Jews take the Torah, the world now has meaning. And the world now has a kiyum. It endures. It's permanent. So in the third month, which represents permanence, the world became permanent. The world became a world which will endure because the Jews accepted the Torah. And then one more idea of Shlishi, a very related idea. The Maral points out, speaks about it at length. The Maral says that the concept of Yosher, the Klal Yisrael were called Yisrael, where there's Yashar, going straight, Yashrus. You can only go straight if there's two extremes, diverging paths, and you take the straight path. Straight has no meaning unless it's relative to something else. If no matter where I walk, it's straight unless I'm comparing it to some other route somewhere, some other road. So the Maral says that to have something which is yashar, straight, you have to have two lines going in other directions, you have to have extremes, and then you have to have a line in the middle, and that line is called straight. So you have three. You have these two extremes, then you have the middle run, the middle road, the balanced road, the one in the middle that's going straight. And the idea of Yosher, a straight line is forever. The things that veer off to the side, and eventually you just kind of picture like a road, you fall off the road. If you go straight, you stay on the road. You don't fall off the cliff. So Torah gives us the seichel that we can reach the proper balance in life. We won't fall to extremes. We won't fall off the cliff. That we'll be able to weigh sides and choose the straight path. That's what Torah does. So the idea of three itself implies to going on that straight path, not falling into extremes, striking the right balance based on our seichel. That's what Torah does for us. So these are all ideas of three. And once, if three creates yashrus, you know, yishrei lev simcha, that simcha comes to those who are yishrei lev, who have this idea of being straight. Because if you have things figured out, that gives you simcha. If you can understand where are the pitfalls of life, where are the extremes, where should I go, How do I weigh the sides? So that gives me that yishrei lev. I have that straightness of heart, and that creates a simcha in a person. So this is the idea of Sivan being the third month. With that in mind, this idea of simcha, this is where the handouts come in. I want to go through a piece here, so this is at least some snippets of it, about the simcha of Shavuos. Now usually if I were to ask you, when you think of Shavuos, what do you think of? So some will probably say cheesecake, some will say learning all night, some will say Matan Torah. I mean, a lot of things we would say in our minds when we say Shavuos. The first word we have usually is not simcha. If I ask you about Purim, you might say simcha. Maybe Sukkot, you'll say Zman Simcha. I'll say, you know, it's simcha. But if I ask you about Shavuos, rarely does the idea of simcha come to mind. There's a mitzvah of simcha in every Yom Tov. Mesamach Nechagecha is a halacha for every single Yom Tov. There's always a mitzvah of simcha. But if you were to rank the simcha of every Yom Tov, Shavuos would not be on the top. It'd probably be like, you know, third or fourth or something down the totem pole. But it's very interesting because we have sources to show that Shavuos should be the happiest Yom Tov out there. And I'm going to read some sources with you. The first source, actually, if I marked it off here, it's a Gemara. I don't think I put it into your packets, but I'll just share it with you quickly. The Gemara has, actually, it's quoted, well, that's not really there. I'll tell it to you outside and we'll look inside. The Gemara says, Masechet Pesachim. The Gemara says, there's a machlokus, how one should spend a Yom Tov day. So one opinion says, you got to choose one or the other. Either you spend the day celebrating, eating, drinking, partying, or you spend the day fasting, davening, and learning. It's one of the two. You don't mix the two. One or the other. That's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. It's based on two pesukim. One pasuk says the yantiv should be lachem, for you, and one says lahashem, for Hashem. So he says, okay, you have two choices. Either it's entirely for you, just enjoy yourself and eat and drink and celebrate, or it's entirely for Hashem, deprive yourself of physicality and focus on learning and davening and fasting all day. That's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Rabbi Yeshua says no. He says the idea of Yom Tov is to split the day in two. Chati l'Hashem, chati l'chem. Take half the day for Hashem, half the day to celebrate for yourself. So he would tell you, that's the halacha, by the way. The halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. You're supposed to split your day. And which we basically do in our schedules. You know, the morning usually we go to shul and we daven, and it's that part's devoted to spirituality. And you come home and you have a nice big suda, and that's devoted to our own personal enjoyment. That's usually Yom Tov is. But that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be, like Rabbi Yeshua says, Chatzi l'Hashem, Chatzi l'Chem. But Rabbi Eliezer says that no, you could actually you should make a choice. Either do entirely celebrating, or entirely, you know, remove yourself from physicality and make it a totally spiritual Yom Kippur-like day, but nothing in between. So that's the machlokus. But the Gemara then says, everybody agrees on Shavuos, you must have Lachem. You must eat. You cannot take the path on Shavuos of Lashem. You can't do that. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer. You have to, on Shavuos, you must eat, you must celebrate, you have to have a good meal. You cannot just spend the day fasting. Why is that? The Gemara says, it's the day we got the Torah. That's what the Gemara says. So how can you not celebrate? And Rashi explains, on the Gemara, Rashi says that when we rejoice with food and drink on Shavuos, we are displaying that we are happy with Kabbalas Torah. Meaning, if it was a day where we got the Torah, and we didn't celebrate it all on our level, physically, it's like we're denying the value of that gift. That I don't feel connected with it. I don't feel like it's a cause of celebration. So in Shavuos, we have, of all days, so according to this opinion, you'd be allowed to fast on Pesach and on Sukkot, but not on Shavuos. On Shavuos, you have to eat and celebrate. That's that opinion. So that's a very strong source that the simcha of Shavuos, in terms of our celebration, should be a very, very powerful simcha. Now look at the handout here, page Kuf Samich. I bracketed off, you know, the beginning of the paragraph. He quotes here, this is a sefer called Kuntras Binyani Chag HaShavuos. It's written by someone named Rav Karelenstein, who was a big Talmud Chacham in Bnei Brak. He has a whole series of Sfarim called Kuntras about each Yom Tov. This is one of them. So he says, "B'sefer Yisod Shor Shavoda." In the sefer called Yisod Shor Shavoda, Kasav Zeloshono, Mama Od Royal Adam Mechaga Kadosh Hazeh. It is so appropriate for a person on this holy day, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, L'smoach Belvavo, to rejoice in his heart, Yoser Mikol Chagim, more so than any other Yom Tov, Ad Kam Loshono. So that's a quote from the Yisod Shor Shavoda. Keep reading. Chen Kasav B'Sirei Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes also in his Siddur, Binyan Chag HaShavuos, Zeh Lashono, Mitzvah Simcha Yom Tov, HaKadosh HaZeh. The Mitzvah Simcha Yom Tov on Shavuos, Gedola Me'od, is very great. V'Rabahi Al Kol Simcha Yom HaKadoshim, it's greater than the Simcha of any other Yom Tov. So that for us, this is very surprising, because we don't think about Simcha when it comes to Shavuos. But all these sources tell us that the Simcha on Shavuos should be greater than any other day. So he says, V'nira Lomar Kama Time Lizeh. There's a lot of reasons for this. Echad, so very simply, the reason for the Simcha is because it's the time of Matan Torah, like the Gemara said. This is the day that we were zochet to the crown of Torah. This should be a spiritual Simcha. To give praise to Hashem that gave us the Torah. We know the purpose of the entire creation is the Torah, as we said before. Like it says in Bereshis, the word Bereshis itself, the very first word of the Torah, what does it mean? So one drasha Chazal make is Bereshis Bishvil HaTorah, that the world is created for the Torah, Shnikras Reshis. Torah is called Reshis. So Bereshis Bara means Bereshis, for the sake of Torah, Hashem created a world. Bishvil Yisrael, Shnikarishis, also for Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael also referred to as Rishis. So Bereshis would mean, for the sake of Klai Yisrael, I created a world. Therefore, on Shavuos, you should rejoice more so than any other Yontif. Because the whole purpose of life was fulfilled on Shavuos. So in a different perspective, no, Pesach is wonderful Yom Tov. Pesach, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with tremendous nisim, revealed Himself to the world, saved us, made us His people. Amazing thing. On Sukkot, we celebrate Hashem's protection, His ongoing, constant care and protection for Klal Yisrael. Those are both amazing things. But the purpose of the world and the true meaning of being a Jew is not Pesach or Sukkot, it's Shavuos. Because what it means to be a Jew is that we are the nation that accepted Hashem's Torah. We're the ones who are going to bring the world to its purpose and to its perfection. We're the ones who are going to have that intimate connection with Hashem, like we read in the pasuk before. We're the Am Segula. We are the Goy Kadosh. That's who we are. And that only occurs on Shavuos. That's not Pesach, that's not Sukkot, that's not Rosh Hashanah, that's not Purim, that's Shavuos. That's what Shavuos is all about. So is there any greater simcha than that? Because the whole purpose of being a Jew really came about on Shavuos. And all that we value and all that we stand for as Jews really stems from Shavuos. That's where it stems from. If you skip a little bit here, I mark. Look at the next page. Kuf Samech Beis. So there's another brackets in the second paragraph there. He begins here. V'tam Nosaf, an additional reason, leharbos besimcha b'chag haShavuos, to increase our simcha on Shavuos. On Shavuos, the love of Hashem for Klal Yisrael was revealed in an amazing way. The Uyim of Herish Rabbeinu HaGra, the Gra tells us, Al Shir Hashirim, in the Gon's Paris and Shir Hashirim, he says the following. We say in davening, right before Kriyashma, the Tefillah of Ava Rabba, Hashem gave us a tremendous love. And that bracha is very clearly speaking about the Torah. Hainu b'matan Torah, kasher niglis ba'anon kodach Har Sinai. This is a matan Torah, when Hashem revealed Himself at Har Sinai. And it's clear that bracha is about the Torah, lishmar, lamin lishmar lasu zakayim. That bracha is talking about keeping Torah, fulfilling Torah, learning Torah, teaching Torah. It's about Torah, that bracha. And that bracha can actually substitute for brichas Torah, halachically. It's about the Torah. And the bracha is labeled Ava Rabba. A tremendous love was shown to us through giving us the Torah. The Chenya Uyim B'Siddur HaGra. So again, the Vilna Gaon writes in his Siddur as well, in Pirish Siach Yitzchak, Shepirish B'Tfilo Achas B'Chartanu Zeu Koyal Gimel Regalim. So we say on Yantav Atav B'Chartanu. And he explains Atav B'Chartanu actually refers to the three Regalim. Why? Because Atav B'Chartanu is Pesach, Ahavto Sanu is Shavuos, and Ratzitza Banu is Sukkot. So those three statements refer to the three regalim. And the statements, Atav B'Chartanu on Pesach, we understand. Hashem chose us on Pesach. Ratzitza Banu on Sukkot, that's the idea of Hashem caring for us, desiring us, that's Sukkot. Ahavta Sanu, the love, is Shavuos. Hainu mishum shatorah hi matana gadola biyoser sheish bo, because the greatest gift in the world is the Torah. You give gifts to those who you love. That's who you give gifts to. The idea of a gift is to increase love and to show your love. That's a gift. And the greatest gift in the world is the Torah. And Hashem gave us the Torah on Shavuos. That's Hashem's love for us. So on Shavuos, when Hashem gave us the Torah, Hashem revealed to us the magnitude, the depth of this concept of Hashem being the Oev Amo Yisrael, the one who loves Klal Yisrael. So that's the Simcha of Shavuos. So number one, we explain the very fact that Shavuos is the day that brings us to the purpose of creation, the purpose of our lives, and what it means to be a Jew, that's a huge cause for Simcha. Furthermore, it shows Hashem's great love for Klal Yisrael, the depth of Hashem's love for us, and that's a cause for tremendous Simcha. These are both reasons why we should rejoice on Shavuos. It goes further, the next page. If you skip, I already mentioned that first thing, that first bracket, base. So skip down to the second to last paragraph, verses V'yu'uyin, page Kuf Samech Gimel. V'yu'uyin l'el osir alof sivkat and gimel, which is barar sham, detachbos avodos yimei sfira, hu kadish niya ad chag ha-shvuas, zman kabalos ha-torah, v'matzav shaguf ya rakli ruchnis. Everyone find it? It's Kuf Samech Gimel on the top. Is it in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So we explained that the idea of Sfiras HaOmer is that when Shavuos arrives, we should be in a state of being that we can be a Kli for Ruchnius. We should be the vessel for Ruchnius, this platform for Hashem to give the Torah to. We spoke about that. Now he says another point, that the reason on Shavuos that you have to eat and celebrate is because we're showing that our bodies have become the platform for spirituality. So on Shavuos we have to take our body and eat and show that my body is ready to do something spiritual. So we're bringing out the body through eating and showing that I've worked the point where my physical body wants to connect to Ruchnius. And then when we eat and drink, we're showing that everything is for the sake of Ruchnius, and that's the eating of Shavuos. So that's another point of why celebrating Shavuos, to show that we've reached the point where our bodies can celebrate, and that celebration itself is a spiritual celebration. It's not just eating and enjoying the food, but it's spirituality. And let's go to one more point. This is page Kuf Samech Dalid. But these are all reasons why the Simcha of Shavuos should be a very powerful Simcha. That we need to think about it in advance. If we don't think about it in advance, we don't feel it on Shavuos. But the more you put into Yom Tov before the Yom Tov, the more you gain from the Yom Tov itself. So we have this week now to think about the causes of Simcha on Shavuos. And when Shavuos comes, we can really, really rejoice in understanding these ideas. So let's look at this other point. This is Beish Kuf Samach Dalad, V'yu'uyin Ba'ud B'Sefer Kushas Levi. So this is from Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, the great Berdichev Rebbe. He says, "B'nyani Chag Shavuos, because he writes about Shavuos in the following way: Hakol Mod Meretzeres to Bina Nami Lachem, Nihine B'Shavuos as Simcha Hu Aydin Asinas Torah. The Simcha of Shavuos obviously is Matan Torah. Vaykashav Aguf L'Smoach, the Matan Torah Tovos Ruchnius. So you might think, well, it's hard for the body to be happy in Shavuos because the Torah is so spiritual, and really the Torah limits the body. Why should my body be happy on Shavuos? My neshama should be happy." But to tell my body, you have to eat and drink and be happy on Shavuos, body, well, why? No, I can't do what I want. I have to listen to my neshama now. Why should my body be happy? But Chazal tell us that the halacha is you have to rejoice with the body on Shavuos. She yisma chaguf, the body should rejoice. She yamin de Torah hu chai om haba, v'gam chai om haza. Very powerful idea. To show that the Torah is not just for om haba. The Torah is about enjoying life in this world too. And like Chazal tell us, Ashrecha b'olam hazeh, v'tov lach b'olam haba. Chazal uses this phrase a few times, that you're praiseworthy in this world, and it's good for you in olam haba. So he's alluding to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where it says, Zui d'marko shtorah, this is the way of Torah. You eat bread and salt, and you drink small quantities of water, and you sleep on the ground, and you toil in Torah. So it's describing a very ascetic lifestyle of somebody who's very, very separate from the physical world and totally immersed in Torah. So then the Mishnah goes along and says, Ashrecha v'tov lach. Praiseworthy for you, and it's good for you. Ashrecha b'mhaze is praiseworthy in this world, v'tov lach is good for you b'mhaba, in the next world. So in this Mishnah, many ask the question, you're describing a life of deprivation, it sounds like. Bread and water, and salt, sleeping on the floor. So you're going to tell me in Olam Haba, it'll be great for you because you spent all your life learning Torah and not being involved in the physical. We can understand that part. But it says in that Mishnah, Ashrecha Olam Hazeh, it's praiseworthy for you in this world. And that's very hard to understand. Why is it praiseworthy in this world? But the answer is the following. The Torah also, when somebody is totally immersed in Ruchnias, it's not just that they get schar in Olam Haba, they have a great time in this world also. They enjoy life in this world much more when they are able to release themselves from the limits, limitations, and the barriers of physicality, and live a life of spirituality in the physical world. It says that on the right side of Torah is lengthy days, on the left side is wealth and honor. It's health for your flesh, and it moistens your bones. So your body also rejoices in Shmiras HaMitzvos and Limud HaTorah. V'hainu d'zeu b'ala horos lanu d'yedei HaTorah gam olam hazeh masok v'lo rak olam haba. So it's teaching us to understand that through Torah, this world becomes sweeter. It's not just about olam haba. That somebody who is Shomer Mitzvos is devoted to Torah in this world, they're having a great time in this world. This world is sweet. This world becomes pleasant. Skip the brackets. The I am the sefer Milos the Torah. Let me Avram Achav Shogra Shekasav le Hakadosh Al Pasuk Shenemar Al Torah Umasukim Midvash Menofes Sufim. So there's a pasuk we know in Tehillim that it says that Torah is sweeter than honey. L'chora Ezes Shevach Ulomar Al Torah Shem Masukim Midvash. Is it really considered a praise to Torah that's sweeter than honey? Like honey is something very physical. Torah is very spiritual. Like why is that considered a praise of Torah to say it's sweeter than honey? Are you able to measure the greatest of Torah through physical means? That Torah is like honey and candy and chocolate? Like, is that the way we measure Torah? Torah is the pinnacle of spirituality. It's the pinnacle of spiritual pleasure. But not why are you comparing it to honey? So he gives an answer in that sefer. If you skip to the next line, I'm a skamas the sefer. Not sure what sefer that is, but from Rosi Koshelovsky Shlita, Choriyish Liashe Bazed Adarab is the Ikar Chiddush of Pasuk. The Chiddush the Pasuk of saying the Torah is sweeter than honey. The Mavada is a pshita the Milos the Torah is gavel in kate, because it's the other way around. We all know the Torah is very spiritual, and to say that Torah is a tremendous spiritual pleasure that we can relate to. Rak the Bo Lomar, but the Pasuk is telling us. Then, if you observe Torah, not only does the neshama take pleasure in it, even the body, the guf itself that has no connection to the spiritual, even the body itself can sense a sweetness which is beyond limit, even greater than honey. And nofesufim is another type of sweet, you know, molasses or something, some sort of sweet substance. But the point that we're saying now is that it's not just that the Torah is a tremendous spiritual pleasure, but Torah creates for us a physical pleasure in this world. If you live life of Torah, your life in this world is content. You enjoy the food that you eat. You appreciate the food that you eat. You can enjoy a Shabbos. You can enjoy relationships because you're not at each other's throats. You're trying to have mitos, man l'chaveiro, and you enjoy people. Enjoy your marriage, enjoy your children, and you can enjoy things much more because you're doing it within the realm of Torah. And it creates such a masikos, the sweetness of life in the physical world that goes far beyond what we usually view Torah as. We usually think of Torah as a spiritual thing, we get schar olam haba. But he says, no. The reason you must eat on Shavuos is to show the Torah is not just about the neshama, it's about the guf as well. And my guf also loves having the Torah. And that's why we have to eat on Shavuos. There's a... I don't think I put it in your packets, but there's a very, very inspirational quote, which every time I read it, you know, I find it very inspiring, from the Or HaChaim. in Or HaChaim in Parshas Kisavo, he says something which is an amazing thing. And when he writes it, you could tell that he actually felt it himself, even though it might sound far beyond us. But when he writes it, he feels it. He's writing about the pasuk V'samachta b'chol hatov. It says in Kisavo, you shall rejoice in all the good. And Or HaChaim says, Kol hatov refers to the Torah. The Chazal tell us, Ein tov ela Torah. So there's a remez in V'samachta b'chol hatov, rejoice in all the goodness, it means rejoice in Torah. So now he says the quote. Listen to this quote. He says, Shim hayu b'nei adam margishin b'mesikas v'arevas tuva Torah. If the human being, if human beings, the people, would feel, would sense the sweetness and pleasantness of the goodness of Torah, hayu mishtagim, they'd go out of their minds, umislatim achareha, and they would run after it, v'lo yechashe b'neim lo olam kesev v'zav l'me'uma, and they would not view anything in this world of importance. No silver, no gold, nothing would have any importance in their lives. Ke Torah klalas kol atova shalom, because the Torah includes all goodness in the world. So if we could really sense how sweet and how good Torah is, it would replace everything in life that we find to be important. And again, read the quote again. If people could just sense the mesikas v'arevas, the sweetness and pleasantness of Torah, hayu mishtagim mislatim achreya, they would go out of their minds with love, mislatim achreya, and they would pursue it. And the full world of silver and gold would mean nothing to them. Because Torah includes all goodness in life. That's his quote. So only somebody who actually felt this, I think, could write such a thing. Mm-hmm. That's what he writes.
Is that written?
The Or HaChaim. When is it written?
No, I just said I want to know who wrote it.
Yeah, the Or HaChaim wrote it in Parshas Kisavo. It's in any regular Mikros Gosh Chumash, you can find it. Yeah, it's in there. So when you talk about Shavuos, hopefully now in our minds we think Simcha. That's what we think in our minds now. And the Simcha has so many levels. But the most basic contemplation for Shavuos is without this day, everything I do as a Jew, my whole life, the meaning in life that I have, my whole lifestyle, the mitzvahs that I do, the Torah that I learn, would be non-existent. You know, Pesach would have set me free and that would have been it. Sukkot tells me that Hashem protects me. Hashem protects Goyim also. I mean, Hashem protects the world. But what's unique to a Jew, and to our daily lives, and to everything that we do, our purpose in life, and the way that we live on a daily basis, is really Shavuos. And when we make the bracha, let's say, Shlo Asani Goy, on Shavuos, that's the bracha means, that I'm the one who has the Torah, and they don't. Nothing negative, that's the fact. And that fact is that my whole life is uplifted and enriched, and so much more full of joy and meaning because of Shavuos itself. So that's the thought I leave you with. So on the Shavuos, when we talk about Shavuos, don't think about just the seriousness and duty of the Torah, or thinking about the meals have to be cooked or the cheesecake, or thinking about your tired husband that was up all night learning. But think about the idea that Shavuos is about Simcha. This is who I am. This is what I live for. Everything I do in my life, every single day, is only here because of Torah. Torah gives me joy, gives me schar and olam haba. It gives me joy in olam hazeh. And it really makes me, like we said in the pasuk, part of the Am Segula in Goy Kadosh.
Beautiful.
Good Yom Tov. Thank you.